Today on Real Radio.
But are we so shallow and so insecure in our belief that if somebody stands up and says, I think Christianity is stupid, are we so shallow in our belief that that would offend us? Come on. Let them say what they want. Let them do what they want.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. You know, there's a favorite word these days that's quite commonly used in social settings and in the media quite a bit. We're talking about the word tolerance. But did you know that the word tolerance fits in the category of those words that are being redefined? Now, as Pastor Jack's been pointing out, a lot of folks who think they are tolerant actually misunderstand its true definition and end up being intolerant. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
Our enemies should be the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Did you know that? Our enemy should say, you know what? That's the best enemy I've ever had. That guy right there, he's a Christian. He's the best enemy. I tell you, my life's blessed because he's my enemy. I'm going to keep him my enemy because he blesses me. Think about it. Romans chapter 12 says, if you have an enemy, go bless them. Give them food and water and drink and bring fire to their home. Now, back then, they needed fire in their house. That was a good thing. Can you imagine? You know. No, it's a good thing back then. You bless them. Give them money. You bless them. That's Christian tolerance. One of the greatest examples I've seen, you guys all know Justin Alford, Brother Justin. It was probably the late 70s at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. There was a radical group of people that were trying to storm the church, literally. Very scary moment. We were in the, they had us kind of in the bookstore at that moment when this thing happened. And, you know, Justin Alford's no small man. And he was very big back then. And he was standing there right on the curb, right on the parking lot and the sidewalk where these people were gathered. And this little tiny guy looks at, right, his nose came right in between Justin's chest. And that guy put his finger, and he's just putting his finger right into Justin's chest. And Justin's just standing there. You could see his veins popping out. And you could see him, and he totally just stood there and took it. But not only took it, afterwards, you know, we talked to him. Justin, did you want to kill that guy? He said, I did at the beginning. But then I began to realize how pitiful this man was. I began to pray for him. I tell you, that's the Spirit of God at work. Because, you know, normal situations. We would have acted like a Dodger, you know, in a normal thing. Tolerance denies the truth about absolutes. It doesn't matter what you think as long as you think it, it's cool. But see, that courtesy is not extended to the Christian. Listen, it's a deception by redefining words. We talked about that last time. We talked about how there's a reappointing of standards regarding this thing of tolerance. This thing of tolerance when a child comes up, you know, even though they'd be maybe a junior or a senior in high school, and they come up and they say, you know, teacher, 4 plus 4, I just come up with a number 6. That's okay. You tried. You know, that's fine. And, you know, I guess that's fine for them, but don't put that kid in an engineering department, you know, where I work. You could get hurt. But, you know, you tried. And this is the evil side, or one of the evil sides, again, of this thing of a modern-day tolerance. There are no absolutes. We can tolerate whatever's brought up because everything, we're just all one big family. It's okay, and you're very sincere about it. So 4 to you plus 4, that's fine if it's 6. It's terrible. This nation, this world once had a standard that we used to crawl up and sweat and stay up all night studying manuals and books just to get a B. But what happens when people are lazy and they're not applying themselves and they're using all kinds of excuses? I can't, you know, because, you know, my whatever. If you're a society that's bent on excuses, you know what you got to do after a while? If enough people believe that kind of a story, you know what you got to do? You got to lower the standards. And then you give them a higher grade and they go, oh, look what I did. You didn't do anything. Didn't do anything. I tell you, I've seen this firsthand. You go to Germany and you see the students, the seventh grade students in Germany doing college, U.S. college level math, seventh grade. I was so embarrassed. Sad. It's sad. But that's just on the physical side, let alone the spiritual side of things. The second thing that we see in this, tolerance denies the truth of absolutes, but also tolerance demands acceptance by all. It demands acceptance by all. And we touched on this last time in that I personally, I know other ministers that do, they get invitations to gather with various faiths to pray. And that sounds very nice, but my Old and New Testament is very clear about those kinds of practices, that you're not to do that. You're praying to strange fire. You're conversing with strange gods. For example, I will tolerate the Hindu. I love the Hindu. I don't understand him, but I love him and I'll tolerate him. And I mean it by biblical toleration, okay? Which is, he's going to be a blessed Hindu because he knows me. But I can't pray with him. Listen, when I pray, I'm praying to the Father through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven. When a Hindu prays, who is he praying to? Ask him, who are you praying to? I don't know. One of the 300 million gods that I pray to. Well, which one are you praying to this time? Maybe we can kind of get an agreement here for a moment. You see? And you say, well, you know, you're judging. This is exactly the point. I'm not judging. Jesus says, this is the way it is. And people will say, oh, that is not tolerant. Jesus nowhere came on the scene and says, you, all of you, believe in me and do it now. I'll give you 5 minutes. No. He just said, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to go do. And this is where I'm going. Take it or leave it. It's your choice. You know God is pro-choice? Did you know that? He's pro-choice. It's man who is not keen on the ramifications of his choice. See, we want choice, but we don't want any fallout from the wrong choice. I want the freedom of choice. Okay, choose. Are you sure? Yeah, go ahead. This door, you fall into a pit. This door, you know, you win the car, and this door, you know, you get eaten by a lion. You're all for choice? Choose. Oh, you mean there could be immediate ramifications for my choice? Yes, it's called responsibility. So what are you going to do? You'll pray to the God of the universe before you open the door. You're going to seek greater and more lofty wisdom than your own, you know. But we cannot commune. Paul says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? What fellowship, if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, what fellowship do we have having fellowship with God and with Satan? He says, none. It's impossible. I understand Mormonism. I don't agree with it. I understand it. I studied it. I know it. But I cannot pray with my Mormon friends because they're praying to Adam. I'm not going to pray to Adam. Last time Adam made a decision, it was a really bad decision. I'm not going there. I'm not going to go there. Why would I pray to Adam? But see, they believe a whole different concept. They have a whole different religion. Are they sweet? I love them. They're great people. Now, in my emotion, I could say, you know what? Let's just kind of cut the corners a little bit. They're great people. Just let them in. Jesus, I know you bled really bad to provide a certain way, and you were beaten really terribly. But can you fudge a little bit on that? We all have to come the same way. Thirdly, tolerance decides what will be tolerated. In the name of tolerance these days, the church in America is being forced more and more to accept laws and rulings that violate the Holy Scripture. Now this raises a serious problem. The way things are going in our country, it is true. And it's if you look at the world scene globally, especially China and North Africa, when the laws are either redefined or bad laws are passed, you definitely in China and in North Africa, you see the pastors and church leaders arrested or killed first. And that is normal. The same was true in Russia during the 71 years of Russia's communism. This is true. You can read the book. Moscow had no Bible. And eyewitness accounts of these very things. What's my point? My point is tolerance makes this announcement that things will be tolerated, but the absoluteness of God will not be tolerated. And now we're starting to see where God is being outlawed. We read that cute little poem. It was sad, but there's a lot of truth to it. I told you guys before, you're probably tired of hearing it, but I was at the Supreme Court of the United States. And when you walk in there, if you've been, an attorney takes you on a tour. And he pointed out in the court, it's fantastic. It's all, what is it? You know, the carvings in marble. What is that called? Sculptures, I guess? But there's another word for that. Etching stones? Watercolors? No, I don't know. Anyway, it's awesome. And he goes all the way. And right, if this was the chief justice position, right where I'm at, right above him is one big guy with two big tablets. Okay. Labeled 1 to 10 in Roman numerals. Anybody been there? You know what I'm talking about. You been there? Then from his left, all the way around the room, are all the great lawgivers of all recorded human history. And that attorney pointed every one of those guys out by name. Went around the whole room. Came right back. He didn't mention the guy over the top. The big guy. I mean, he's like almost twice the size of the other guys. He's the big kahuna. And I said, who's that guy? The guy right there. What guy? The guy you didn't point out. That guy. And the guy goes, before the end of the tour, I'll get back to you. Some guy in the group goes, I think it's Moses. Isn't that bizarre? Now, I'm not faulting this guy. I'm faulting his teachers. Who took him on a tour? We need to find that guy. And then the guy that took him on a tour. Somewhere along the line, somebody said, let's not talk about God. Because Moses knew God. And that's a little too close for our comfort zone. We can tolerate everything else. You know, Hammurabi's over here, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's all right. But this Moses guy, one God, no adultery. You got to have a single eye and all this stuff. Hey, wow. Just leave him out of the tour. Strange. Listen, Acts chapter 5, verse 28. When the disciples were preaching Jesus all over the place, the religious hierarchy, the rulers came and said, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with all of your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Wow. Peter, good shot. That's straight from the Holy Spirit. There comes a time when a nation goes awry from God, goes astray. We are to obey the laws of the land, Romans chapter 13 says, until those laws directly encroach upon or sequester the very revealed word of God. Then you have what's called persecution that breaks out. As the United States gets more and more godless and legislates godlessness, the more and more closer we're coming as a people to experiencing what all of the believers throughout history in every continent of the world except this one has ever experienced. Did you know that? We are so spoiled that in America we have never been persecuted in mass for what we believe. Did you know that? We're the only nation that has escaped that thus far. So, it's intellectually dishonest and hypocritical. It's unfair and it is not right, and neither is it logical for anyone to state to you or for you to state to them, you're to be tolerant, thus your view's not welcome here. That's an oxymoron. That's contradictory. You can't do that. If you're going to be tolerant, then someone and anyone is allowed to express their opinion. You're to put up with it. You're to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the area of long-suffering. You don't have to agree with it. And are we, and I know we're not, but are we so shallow and so insecure in our belief that if somebody stands up and says, I think Christianity is stupid, are we so shallow in our belief that that would offend us? Come on. Let them say what they want. Let them do what they want. Christianity is absolutely not only resilient, it's triumphant. If I believe it or not. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 16, 18, I think it is, where he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Things could get pretty scary, but the gates will never prevail. So we're living in amazing times, and we need to be on guard. Tolerance decides what will be tolerated in this world that you and I are living in. Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't tolerate sound doctrine. Are we there? We're there. But according to their own desires, they will gather to themselves, or they have itching ears, and they will gather to themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And the word fable in Greek is myths, tales, stories, unsubstantiated journeys. Word games. We live in an amazing time. Tolerance, the unbiblical definition of tolerance, has crept into the church. And it goes, and we'll close with like the, with this type of analogy, I guess. This thing about tolerance. God says that the liar will not inherit heaven. Galatians chapter 5. God says liars will not go to heaven. It doesn't mean if you told a lie, you're going to go to hell. It means if you lie in your life. I mean, your life is a lie. You live a lie. It doesn't matter how good you know your Bible. It doesn't matter. You fooled yourself. God says a habitual liar, one who practices lies, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, if you love someone who's a habitual liar, you love them, and you show them that verse, what is your motive? Is your motive to make fun of them? Is your motive to beat them up? Or is your motive to get them into the kingdom? It's to get them into the kingdom. But here's the problem. That liar, he doesn't believe in the kingdom. So, he doesn't care. So you see your friend, and you notice that your neighbor, when he backs out of his driveway and drives away, you notice that your other next-door neighbor goes over to the house. And a couple hours later, he goes back over to his other house. And this happens every day when the man drives away from his home. And you talk to that neighbor. You say, hey, what's going on? Oh, man, you know, me and Bubbles, ooh, we're hot. What do you do about it? Listen, man, don't do that. Oh, what are you, some kind of a prude? I don't know about a prude, but listen, God says that the person that commits adultery is not going to go to heaven. Don't do that. Come on, think about it. I mean, at the very least, man, you can get a disease or you get shot in the head. Come on. But God says you're not going to go to heaven. Come on, don't do that. I love you enough to tell you, don't do it. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Listen, you might say, oh, just leave that guy alone. He's just having a little fun. Easy for you to say, because it's not your wife or your husband. You see? Oh, just tolerate it, will you? Just, it's none of your business. Just tolerate it until it's your husband or your wife. You see how absolutely intellectually dishonest and hypocritical it is? The same people that are crying tolerant are the same people that say, there are no rules, go ahead and do what you want. If it feels good, do it. Which they could never say according to their own logic. If I feel like running over your Burmese kitten, you can't do a thing about it because that is my choice and you must tolerate it. It's intellectually dishonest. It's morally wrong. But the same people say, you must tolerate, when the shoe's on their foot, they fold. Because their foundation is sand. We can go from this place tonight telling our friends from the Word of God, my friend who's a liar, please stop. My friend who's committing adultery, please stop. The same passage of Scripture says an extortionist, a person who every year robs from the IRS. Well, the IRS deserves that. They may deserve to be robbed from, but you don't do it. The Scripture says a woman who lies with a woman or a man who lies with a man. It puts those in the category of sin choices, choices of sin, because the very next word is, and a drunkard. Wow, I thought it was a disease. No, you need to read the fine print. You get a disease from practicing those things. I can't believe you said that. You should be more tolerant. You're missing the whole divine motive. If you love someone, you'll give them the hope that they can come out of this stuff. They don't have to be hooked on drugs anymore. Jesus will set them free, supernaturally. The church better wake up and stand up. I thank God and pray for this city who has police captains and police officers and mayors and city council and planning commissioners and people who love Jesus Christ. It's a rarity here, you know, folks. Nearly 70 churches in our city, and it ain't a very big city. That's a sign of God's hand. Hey, don't take anything for granted. There's a world out there that hates you. And remember, it ain't over until the fat angel sings.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John tells the reader, do not be deceived. And in this day and age, that means not falling prey to political correctness and redefining the word tolerance. It's all part of a mini-series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's part of Pastor Jack's larger collection of lessons taken from this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this entire series has been available through Real Radio for quite some time now, but for now, we're making Living in the Days of Deception available for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. You should really get your hands on this. Again, the offer, we'll send you Pastor Jack's series, Living in the Days of Deception, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Just ask for it by name, Living in the Days of Deception. It's been a great series, and we hope you'll take advantage of this great opportunity. Call, click, or write. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or call us if you'd like to talk to somebody nice. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, Living in the Days of Deception, Pastor Jack's series on MP3 CD. You're going to like it. And of course, all of our links and contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.